WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready?
Let's go.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Nikki.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. We're so nice and clear today, right?
I know, right? Yay, look at us.
Yeah, so we're trying a little different format. So let's see and tell us what you think.
Right? Yeah, give us some feedback. Can you see us clearly? Yes, we're seeing ourselves, so hopefully you can see us clearly.
Yes. So today we're talking about island wives.
Yes, marriage, from bride to partner.
Right.
And what that entails, the ebbs and flows of that, and you know, really talking about our lives and what we have gone through, and we have some tips, a little toolkit to pass on to the younger generation. Oh, we're so old, right? Ugh.
We are.
But based on our experience, we'd like to share things that we did, things that we could have probably done differently. But it's just good to have the conversation. Right?
Of course, of course. And we're not having a guest this time because I think we have good experience with this.
I think so. I mean, between both of us, it's over 50 years of
marriage.
Experience.
So tell us about when you first got married.
So this year will be 29 years, believe it or not.
OMG.
Yeah.
Oh, well, mine is 27 this year.
Yeah, you're just behind me. But it was, of course, you know, there's a honeymoon phase, right? Literally, you know, I was starry. Well, we had a really nice wedding, first of all. And we were both very starry-eyed. We moved to Montego Bay. Everything was very new. It was fresh. It was my first time leaving home. So I left my parents and went to Montego Bay with my husband, Chris. Thankfully, his mother was there with us.
In Montego Bay?
She came to Montego Bay with us and his grandmother.
Okay.
Right, you know.
So is this a good thing?
Well, thank God, because she was helping me to unpack and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, okay.
The early days, we had no furniture. We had nothing. Literally fresh, brand new. But it was exciting because we didn't have any expectations and we were just so very starry-eyed anyway. We were just happy to be in our own little space. And so we had a TV on a box and we had no furniture. But we had each other.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, that's really what mattered, you know. And we had friends that would come down to spend weekends with us. So that was great. Because it was sad to leave our friends behind, but a lot of them would come down to Montego Bay. But that was a trip for them.
Of course.
So we enjoyed each other's company. And then we moved back to Kingston after a year and a half.
Oh, so not too long.
So it wasn't too long. But it was a little bit difficult adjusting to a new environment. Everything was brand so new.
Okay.
It was quite a bit of an adjustment for us. But eventually we did. And by the time we adjusted, it was time to come back to Kingston. Anyway.
Isn't that life?
Life. So yeah. Tell me about yours. What was it? But did you go back to Canada after you got married?
No. So ours is a little bit different because actually Trevor and I went out with each other for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when we actually got married, before we got married, we lived in my parents' house, in separate bedrooms, of course. And then we actually built a small little place on my parents' property, and that's where we moved in. So we had our own space, but not too far away from my parents and whatever. So it was a little bit different, but it was very nice to have our own space. And of course, you know, the starry eye, take out the china, we would have all these dinner parties with all of our friends and, you know... so it was good in, you know, good days.
Right, of course.
Yeah, Trevor was interning at the time, so work was, you know, I don't know if you've ever gone through, well, the medical process for a doctor is onerous.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, he was working a lot, but, you know.
Well, I haven't gone through the medical process, but certainly I've gone through... Chris building his profession.
Right.
Because we actually moved to Montego Bay because he was starting another branch of a bank there.
Okay.
So, you know, it was, the days were long, the hours were long. He was away from home a lot. And that's where the support came because I had to understand. It was a little difficult, I have to admit, but I had to understand this was the main purpose of us being in Montego Bay. It was new for him too.
Right.
Not just in terms of the marriage, but in terms of his profession. And he
of
had
course.
To give his
the more responsibility.
A lot of responsibility.
Right.
So I had to adjust to him being away from home for, you know, length, and I was involved at Air Jamaica at the time, so my hours were kind of weird too.
Right.
But, you know, it was just an adjustment for both of us all around.
Right, of course. But, same for us, because, of course, at that time, Trevor now becomes a doctor, so you have a different level of responsibility as you go through that. But,
So we had to learn how to navigate those changes.
Right.
And that was, you know, I guess you call the first season of marriage.
Right.
It was just both of us. Then we came back to Kingston. That was another adjustment in terms of being with our parents now. My parents, his parents.
But I thought his mom lived with you.
No, no, she lived with us.
She was just with us for that time.
She helped us unpack the boxes. And I was just so thankful that she was there.
Okay.
His grandmother wasn't unpacking boxes, but she was sitting there and directing traffic.
Nice.
So I absolutely loved that they were there.
Nice.
Really grateful. And his sister and brother would come down from the States to spend some time with us. So that was really good. So we had family and friends coming. Right. So we had that. So, but as you know, though, there are challenges.
Right,
With relationships.
And those are things that you have to work out.
Absolutely. And our very first challenge, believe it or not, was like, I think 6 months after. This was in the form of health.
Okay.
Chris got really, really sick, and we had to jump on the air ambulance, took us to the States. It was very scary.
Of course.
But that was our very first challenge. That was the first time I'm stepping up now as a wife, as the next of kin, after making these decisions. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But, you know, we worked it through.
Of course.
And it was a challenge that I wasn't prepared for at the time. Didn't expect it, of course. That's just how health is. But we worked through it, and, you know, thank God all is well. But as saying, we came back to Kingston, and then we fell back into our family and friends, which sometimes can be a good thing and sometimes not so good, because it can get a little bit of a distraction.
Of course.
Right. So when we talk about working through these challenges, we have to create a solid foundation.
Of course.
Right? You can probably mention values and the importance of the values, because now it's not just both of us in this little capsule. We're now back in Kingston, and we have others around us that are going to take up our time. Chris is going to want to play football. I want him to be at home. I'm going to do whatever. And how do we work through that?
Right. Of course. And the values will come out in our tips, because those are something I didn't even know about back then. But, you know, it's like, I think my challenge was like, I would be reading all these magazines, and you read about this, the husband having an affair or doing this, and I'd be like, OMG, and then, you know, you freak out. And I remember Trevor saying to me one day, Nikki, can you please just stop reading those damn magazines?
Too much information.
And I think it's true. It's like you get so caught up in, you know. And
I actually didn't read any magazines. I mean, my parents were my example.
Okay.
Mom and Dad did everything together. Their soca parties, their work, everything. Work, church, parties. They
so
did
that's
everything
what you
together.
Expected.
And that's what I expected. So, I mean, that's in for a little bit of a rude awakening, because it's... For every couple, it's different.
Of course.
You know? And we'll talk about that as one of our tips, that we have to maintain our identity within the marriage. That I didn't understand. I learned along the way.
Right.
So at first I'd get, you know, why can't you be home? Or why are we not doing the same thing all the time?
Right.
And that's just not practical.
Right. And of course, as you know, we both talk about it. We go through this... perfection.
Oh geez, yes, that was a big thing for me, because I thought I have to be this perfect wife. You know, I have to do this perfectly, and the table must be set perfectly, and you know, and I realized that that's just not real.
Right, right.
You know, and I learned from my sister Gail, who said, "Mish, just don't sweat the small stuff."
Of course.
You know, and we want to be perfect, but that's just not practical. It's actually impossible. But here's the thing, we can strive to be perfect for each other.
Of course. And I remember somebody saying, don't start the way you want it to end. Right? So I think that don't try and give it, if you cannot like if you cannot maintain doing something,
don't start it.
Don't start it. Mm-hmm. Because that's what obviously your husband is going to come to expect. Mm-hmm. And you know, we obviously try to be the perfect wife.
And that's where resentment comes, you know.
Exactly.
That's where the resentment comes. Oh my gosh, I don't want to be doing this, but you started it.
Right.
You know. But then again, you know what? If you get to that point where you started something with all good intention and you realize it's not working for
right.
you, it's okay to say, this is not working for me, but you could have a conversation about right. it.
I think you told me a story yeah. about you doing that.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to, we've told each other so many stories, but I think sometimes you just have to recognize it's just not working.
Right.
So, but the conversation though, and Esther Perel talks about the importance of good conflict, because mm-hmm. a good conflict leads to conversation.
Of course.
And which leads to greater connection. Right, they say makeup sex is the best sex, but anyway, that's another conversation for another time. But it's important to, you know, we go through seasons,
of course.
Right, so after that honeymoon stage, we're looking at the profession. You know, Trevor was becoming a doctor, Chris becoming established as an investment banker. What were we doing during that time?
Yeah,
we were supporting our husbands,
of course.
And Michelle Obama tells us that marriage is not 50-50. But honestly, I went into it thinking it's 50-50. But yes. Reality, it's not. So when Trevor was pursuing his professional goals, you were there picking up the slack for him. Likewise, I had to do the same. And then when it was time for me to study, to do my master's, Chris pulled more.
Right.
Than I was at home, because I was not at home. I was doing weekend classes.
Right.
So we have to also recognize that there are times when our partner has to do a little bit more, and there are times when we have to do a little bit more.
Yeah, I always say that there's always times when you have to allow them to lead,
mm-hmm.
and we have to be able to lead. Because obviously there's going to be things that I am better at.
Of course.
That I will say, okay, this is my area. I'm mm-hmm. going to take charge. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that he's better at when he takes the lead.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to have, I believe.
So funny story, when you talk about taking the lead, this is really simple. But so when we travel, Chris sits on his phone, legs crossed and probably drinking coffee. And I take charge of the passports, filling out forms, making sure that we're there on time and all is, you know, everything with regards to the travel. But so that has just been, I just assumed that role.
Right.
But he has assumed the role of the hotel. So I have to understand that Chris is going to choose a hotel because he's very particular about that. And I'm going to be in charge of everything else.
Right.
So we have, without really saying it, we've just assumed those roles. So I know when to take the lead and I know when to allow him to take the lead.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So we're the opposite. I plan everything down to a T and I know exactly where we're going and what we're doing. But when it's the travel day now, Trevor is the one that takes the passport, does mm-hmm. all of that mm-hmm. stuff. And he will tell you, I would leave my head if it wasn't attached, because I'm just following along.
No, so. I have to take the lead with that. I have to. So here's the thing now, we're talking about seasons. So we go through that honeymoon phase, the professional development, and then children.
Yeah, that's the hard one.
Children. Those little creatures came along and everything changed.
Because you know what happens, right? You're with the damn, no, not the damn baby. With the babies. And
yes.
They're crying, and then as soon as you as soon as they come home the door, you just want to
hand over.
And guess what, Mish? When Max was 8 months, we moved to Canada.
Mm.
So, of course, you know, that's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Trevor was working very long hours doing his fellowship. His commute was like 40 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he'd be on call and have to go back and forth 3 times a day.
And you had the baby.
And I had the baby. And of course, I was just like, oh, I've been home all day, you know. I remember him coming home one day, and I don't know, I had left the lunch or the dinner dishes out. He's like, why are these still out? I'm going to
give him a look. Well, speaking of that, I mean, I remember in the early days, I still wanted to have that perfect wife look when my husband gets home. That doesn't happen when you have kids. That goes through the door. Because you can spend the entire day in your nightgown.
Right.
Between breastfeeding and changing. And you're just exhausted.
And of course, we have to say that we are privileged living where we do. And having the access to what we do. So we have help.
Mm-hmm.
Take it off to those people in North
who
America.
Who can't afford it because it's expensive.
Right.
Yeah. But on that note, though, the children will naturally take up a lot of time, right? So during that period, we have to be, and we tried to be very conscious about creating time for ourselves. That's where I struggled a lot initially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can I leave the baby?
Yeah.
And I remember, for Zach, it was a little different. And Chris insisted, I went to Carnival pregnant with Zach. And the second year, I went back and I was breastfeeding. And I went to Carnival. And as I got to the party, you know, my milk said it's time to feed the baby. And it was really, really hard for me to leave him. But when I adjusted my mind that he's okay,
yeah,
I had a good time. You know, but I'm glad that Chris insisted because I would have just stayed there breastfeeding, wishing I was in Trinidad, probably getting annoyed. But I guess sometimes this is where that your partner will pull you when you need to be pulled. Because if he hadn't, it would have never occurred to me, how can I leave the baby?
Well, Trevor was just as bad as me. And we will always tell you that the first time we ever left the kids and traveled without is on our 10-year anniversary. Should we have done it earlier? Maybe, but
it worked for you though.
Yeah, it worked for me.
It doesn't have to be the same for every couple, you know. It's what works for you
and your family. No, before, because we traveled before we got married, I said, yes, I'm gonna travel, I'm gonna leave the kids and da 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 da. And of course Max was born during 9/11. And after that, I'm going
travel.
I'm not leaving them. But what I wanted to say about having kids too is that it's very easy to become in love with your kids because we love our kids. And sometimes you forget about your partner.
Absolutely.
That you have to maintain this relationship as well.
Yeah.
Right?
And then it's the thing too, because the children are dependent on us. We tend to think, okay, the husband is okay. He's fine. He can manage. I have to be 100% in charge of this little thing that's in front of me. But we can't leave the husbands out, right?
Yeah, no, that definitely...
I did sometimes. I totally forgot about Chris sometimes, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because it just... It's really... You really just get consumed with the children.
Right.
You do. And if I could have done it differently... But it's lack of information, too. I just never thought about it until I'm deep in.
Right.
That, okay, no, we have to spend some time together.
Right.
And that's just how marriage is. You learn as you go along, right?
Of course.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying that Trevor was a very active daddy that he will tell you. And I don't think it's completely right, but I honestly can't remember that he's the one that bathed the children all the time. Because honestly, with Max, I really was very scared to bathe him. So he would be the one to bathe them if it wasn't, somebody else. But yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, one thing that I learned that I was told at our wedding, our friend Peter said, love is a doing word, right? And so in marriage, it really does, it's not just a one-off thing, it's a constant thing. As we said, there are ebbs and flows, there are challenges, there are joys, but you constantly have to be reevaluating whether ourselves personally or the relationship is a constant thing. And we can't obviously every single moment of the day evaluate,
right?
But there are times when we have to sit down and say, well, things have changed, we now have children, what are we going to do to ensure that the spark stays,
right?
Or the spark is revised, or we spend more time together,
right?
What are we doing? So we have to try not to get into that doldrum of the routine
and not to take the other person
for granted.
Absolutely. Right.
So you know, one of the things that we tried to do was to have dinner together as a family on a Sunday. But of course, things change.
Yes.
So after a while, the dinner doesn't happen. But we can't just accept, okay, we're not going to have dinner together. We have to find something else to do to keep us together.
Right.
You know. So
well, we have dinner together as a family every single night. That's just a given in our world.
Right. Which is important because a lot takes place at the dinner table. Right. A lot of conversations.
And then speaking about seasons, right? So we go through all the kids, high school, and I'm in it now. You're starting to get ready for it. We get into the empty nest syndrome.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so then it's just...
It's a whole nother season.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
so how are you adjusting to that?
It's a big adjustment. Food has not is not become as much of a priority because, of course, before we were like always, okay, when are we going to have dinner? Make sure the kids have mm-hmm. food and whatever. Mm-hmm. Now we'll have like our nachos. We'll have salad.
Whatever is easy.
Right. Ramen or something. And then, you know, make good stuff other mm-hmm. days. But it's not as...
So in terms of like your mm-hmm. activities together, you have to... determine what are we going to do. Right. So you have your weekends. You're not running around with the children anymore.
Right.
So you have more time.
Right.
So
but that's still a work in progress.
Yes.
I just spoke to Trevor about it today because we were just talking about having that balance. I'm like, okay, you know, we have to figure out what are we going to do when we're here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's our, you know, what's our social life looking like?
Right. And that's part of the reevaluating, right?
Right.
So we have to recalibrate, sit down.
And then post-COVID, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Even you and I were talking about, we're mm-hmm. looking at all the pictures. Look at all the stuff we used
just
to
just this
do.
Week.
Yes.
Just this week.
So we
there
have
all
to...
those photos. All those photos were proof of the
right.
things that we used to do
of
and
course.
That we really need to get back
mm-hmm.
to doing.
For sure.
Yeah.
So should we get into our tips now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because you really want to pass this on to the younger generation, just importance of understanding ourselves and having a better understanding of our partners.
Okay. Mm. So I think one of the first one that we talked about was developing the values.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I don't
think... That's the foundation, yes.
We never really knew about it, what we were doing when we started.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Trevor's not Jamaican, I grew up, we went to the same high school. So I think our values were kind of aligned in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would recommend to anybody that you sit down and say, what's important to you as a couple, right?
Well, I think it all depends. But I think for most people, we do counseling.
Right.
Right. But I don't know how in-depth that goes. For us, it really wasn't very detailed.
Yes.
So a lot of things we did not talk about. So we learned along the way. But I think now, you know, we have access to so much more
mm-hmm.
that we can be very purposeful about it to say, we need to discuss this. We need
right.
to discuss our values.
Right. What's important, like, you know, it talk about like how much time you spend together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a little bit of freedom? And if so, how much freedom to, you know, go out with your guy friends or girlfriends?
I think we should encourage each
of
other
course.
To do that, because that's important.
Right.
It gives us something to talk about when we get back together, right?
Right.
It's just very healthy to establish those the personal time. And remember, too, what's really critical, we cannot look to our partner for happiness.
No, of
right?
course not.
It's an internal thing. So we have to ensure that we are happy and they're the icing on the cake.
Of course.
We have to do whatever it takes for us to maintain our mental health and, you know, to ensure that we are happy within ourselves. So then we come to the marriage
right.
with so much more to offer
yes.
rather than expecting our partner to create that happiness
of
for
course.
Us. You know?
And when we get to the motherhood one, it's a whole other set of values for
mm-hmm.
parenting as
oh,
well.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
And those are just some basic things to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see a lot of people on Instagram or TikTok, and I don't know if you've seen them,
mm-hmm.
about going through, they have a meeting once a year,
mm-hmm.
and they go through their goals, where they want to travel, what they want to do, so everybody is aligned. And I think that's
fabulous. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I said to Trevor, you and I can facilitate something like that. But anyhow.
I love it.
So number two, is to work through your challenges.
Yeah, sometimes that can be hard because having those difficult conversations is easier. It's probably for some people who don't like to face challenges or face conflict, it's easier to just sweep it under the carpet. But
right.
it will rear its ugly head again. So it's better to have, and some of those challenges can be whether it's time spent together, whether it's the budget, how that works, doesn't work. There's just so many things, but it's better to have that conversation.
Of course.
But you know, what I think is important too is that we've always been told not to go to bed
mm-hmm.
angry with each other. But I do believe, though, that sometimes it may not necessarily be the right time
to have the conversation.
So you have to understand your partner. This is not, we're not going to get anywhere with this. We're going to be up for the entire night and not solve the issue. So there are times I think you can say, okay, I understand what you're saying. I don't agree with you. Let's have this discussion another time.
Right.
Because it really won't make sense to have that battle.
But I think if you establish your ground rules for confrontation, it makes it a lot easier. Like, okay, maybe we're not going to have discussion right now, but we're going to have it within the next 24 hours. Or we'll set a time where we discuss it.
Right.
We're not going to blame each other.
That's hard, you know.
Right.
Because you want to throw those daggers.
Yes.
It really takes a lot of self-control to say, we need to stick with, and I need to stick with the point. I need to stick with the issue. I need to fight fair.
Right.
Fairly. I need to fight fairly. That's correct, right?
Yes, of course. And then that is also part of the communication, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to communicate fairly, not without blame. It is hard. But then
that's a lot of control.
That comes to our next one about like really having to work on ourselves.
For sure.
With the personal growth.
For sure. And all of us have how we were socialized determines how we handle situations.
Right.
And but we can't use it as an excuse. Right. So as we get older, wiser, with more experience, we learn how to handle those situations.
Right, and have insight on ourselves.
For sure.
And I'm sure I've told you this story before, and I might have even said it on the podcast, is that before I started my journey for personal growth, and before I really got good insight on my friends, on myself, I would always be blaming my poor husband for everything. Or I would blame other people, you know. It was never about me. It was about, oh, they didn't do this, or he wants me to do this, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of these things was that I had a mirror. And I loved this mirror because it was like, you know, it was cotched up. And
slim.
I looked good. But my husband didn't want it there. And if anybody knows my husband, he's a very fastidious person. He just likes his things the way he likes it. Could it be because it might have fallen over? I don't know, but we won't give him that. So he moved it. And then I would be looking at the mirror in the walk-in closet. I'd get so mad, and I'd get mad at him. Oh, he has to have me look in this mirror and look at how fat I look. And it's all, you know, he just has to be so perfect. And I would just get upset. Then during COVID, I went through this thing and I lost some weight and whatever. And I'm like, looking in the mirror, I'm going, it's not the mirror. It's me.
Yes.
So, you know,
a simple story, but it's profound.
And I had to go and tell Trevor, you know, sorry about that, because I was getting so mad at you.
Right.
You know, about the mirror. But the profoundness is that here I am blaming external circumstances for something that
looking
is
within. We have to.
That I have control over.
Absolutely,
right?
And that comes with growth.
Right.
You know,
take long,
but you got there.
Right.
And that's what matters. So,
right. And it's still a work in progress, as we all know.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. It's not a snap of the fingers, you know.
Right.
But the growth is a key thing. You don't put the full stop. You just put a comma. And we just keep going.
Right. Yeah. And you were saying also that you should seek advice.
Yeah, I think sometimes we can fall into having conversations with persons who may not necessarily give us the help that we need. So we have to protect our marriage. And if it is that we need assistance, we can get professional help.
Right.
And I think that's important. I don't think anything is wrong with that. I think a professional can guide you in the direction that you need to go rather than getting into he said, she said, I don't like da 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 da.
Right.
Just stay on course because at the end of the day, it's about making sure that your marriage is the best for you and for your partner.
And you know, here's the other thing, is that misery loves company.
Oh, yes.
And it's so easy to get in with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they're
complaining
about their husband. So
right.
You've like, okay, you know, tried to get in and you commiserate. Oh, yes, he does this and he does that.
Not healthy.
Or another way is that you start to tell your girlfriends everything, and then next thing, you and your husband
you get, get back together and like, what?
And they are like, yeah. I thought, you know, mm-hmm. and when you're just really just venting,
yeah, but you have to know how to vent. Objectivity. Venting is good mm-hmm. because if you're able to be vulnerable in a safe space,
right?
That, but you have to know who to do it
right. With. So don't commiserate, and don't complain,
right?
Seek support in the right
exactly.
place,
the
right?
Support is what it is, because I can say to you, Bornicky, this is a situation. You can say, well, Mish, this is how I think you could handle it,
right?
You know what I mean? As opposed to saying, imagine,
right?
Once you start with the imagine, you know, it went down the wrong road. So,
yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the next one is that we have to embrace our differences.
And that's critical, because we're two different people. Regardless of our similarities, there are going to be differences.
Of course. And how we are raised.
Yes, absolutely. We're socialized differently. Right. And we have to understand that. We have to embrace those differences and know that this is what it is.
Right. And what does Gail say?
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Exactly. You have to determine what you're willing to overlook. Like if they want the cup here, mm-hmm. does it really matter if the cup is
just,
over
just
here?
Just leave it there. It's not right. a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if it's something that's really fundamentally wrong and you're going to become resentful, you have to then come to some type of compromise.
Mm-hmm. Right. And a compromise is important. I don't think there's any relationship, whether with a spouse or otherwise, any friendship, any relationship, that there isn't compromise.
Of course.
There has to be compromise. But you cannot compromise and be resentful at the same
exactly.
time. So you have to understand that, which is why embracing the difference is important. So you have to understand that he wants a cup here. It really doesn't bother me if the cup is there. I would rather it over here, but it's okay. Let's leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if it, as you said, if it really bothers me, I will say, look, when you have the cup there, it bothers me. Let's.
And why?
Yeah.
And that comes back to the communication.
Exactly. Because
right?
he may not have even thought about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, so that's really important for us to embrace differences and understand that no matter how we, you know, we talk about we're as one, we are different.
Right.
We're different.
And I think the next one is plan those date nights,
yes.
those special trips, occasions, even though we only took one on our 10th anniversary, mm-hmm. but it's okay.
So I think it's important to understand what the other person likes.
Right.
So, and you may not necessarily want to do the same things all the time, but again, that's where compromise comes
in. Of course.
You know, so we love to go to concerts. Mm-hmm. So we do that.
That's your thing.
That's
sure.
our thing.
Right.
So we do our concerts. Restaurants, the weirdest thing, Chris is not a foodie, but he loves to go to restaurants, but he's not into food really. He really wants a good glass of wine,
right?
But he loves to go to restaurants, so we do that.
I could go out with Chris. <'Cause>,
why not?
Because Trevor doesn't love a restaurant, but I love to go to a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But you know, we compromise. Okay,
right,
we'll
right.
go maybe once every 2 weeks instead.
Yes.
of he just said to my sister, she would go out every night if you but it's not true.
Yeah. So we find things, I mean, and there are things that I don't necessarily want to do.
Right.
But I do it just so that we're in the same space together.
Right.
And that's supporting.
Yeah, like, I don't necessarily want to go to the beach to watch them, to watch him surfing.
Okay,
but
I will go with Trevor to the beach and you'll go with Chris to the restaurant. Because I love a beach.
Yes,
And that's the thing. So, and I also have to, we also have to understand, speaking of beach, when we go to, so we love to go to the country.
Right.
We go to Half Moon. Chris is going to sleep for the entire day. I'm up at the crack of dawn
mm-hmm.
and I'm heading to the beach.
Right.
But I don't get resentful that he's in there sleeping.
Because
and
you know.
Because I know he's not going to get up at 10 o'clock.
And why bother get him up when he's going to be miserable?
Absolutely.
Right?
I just do my thing. And I know at 4 o'clock he'll be up and have his cup of coffee and then he'll sit by the pool.
Right.
And I've had my day by the beach and looking nice and tan and I'm happy.
Right.
So, and that gives us our time together too, because at that point there's going to be some live performance that we both enjoy.
So we
have learned how to work,
yes.
make it work.
Right. And that comes back to, I always say, you also have to have travel values
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I know what I like to do and I know how to plan for so that it doesn't annoy
right.
or cause any conflict
right.
among for the family or for
right.
Trevor and I. Like
right.
I know now it takes a while. But
it does. But you just have to understand and know your partner.
Right.
And what they will do and just will not do. Yeah. But marriage is hard. It's not.
But we have one more tip, and it's
I think it's a whole toolkit.
Yeah. Is to maintain your identity.
Yes.
It's so easy to get caught up in the whose wife are you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm Chris's wife.
Well, you know.
And we lose our identity with the kids too.
Of course.
Yeah. Max and Kaylin's mom.
Yeah. Dr. Murphy's wife, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So we have to maintain our identity, whatever that means for us.
Right.
And that can be a little difficult because life really just does get so busy. Mm-hmm. But we have to be intentional about creating that time and maintaining our own, which we are learning now, right? And it's never too late.
I don't think it's an identity that we say, oh, we want to have this big career and we want to be this mm-hmm. influencer or this big person. I think it's just knowing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, we don't have to always be running around for the kids or right. for the husbands. Like, it's okay. I want to go and have uncorked. Right. I have a glass of wine with yes. you at Uncorked.
Right.
And
that's no okay. kids, no husband.
Right.
And that's perfectly fine. And that's just where we build our confidence.
Right.
So we know that we can confidently step out and do what it is we would like right. to do. Independent of our husbands, right. independent of our children, and it that gives us something to look forward to.
Of course,
you know, and that adds to our own personal happiness.
Right.
This is what I like, and I want to go and sit at Uncorked with my friend and have that glass of wine and chat, whatever.
And like I always say to everybody, you need to bring something to the table
mm-hmm.
when you're going into a marriage. You need to bring something to the table. And I don't even...
And there are persons that are going to say to you, what do you mean bring something right. to the table?
And I don't mean financially. I mm-hmm. mean like, what do you have to offer in this partnership? Mm-hmm. Whether it be support, mm-hmm. whether it be communication, mm-hmm. whether it's I'm going to make you a better person because mm-hmm. of
and whatever and that's I a good have, that's a good you know? Point because we also, in bringing something to the table, we also have to take responsibility of what happens in the marriage.
Of course.
So we talked about the blame game. We have to say, how did I contribute to this? This is where we are now. What was my contribution?
Of
and
course.
How can I make it better?
Right.
So it's bringing something to the table and making sure that we be cognizant of the fact that we can't blame the other person. We're taking this to the table. We also have to say, what are we contributing to whatever the situation right. is?
And how can you bring something to the table mm-hmm. in an ongoing marriage if you don't have your own life? Because like, okay, so I have been, went on a retreat last year, but then I come back and now I have so much to talk mm-hmm. to Trevor about and
Absolutely.
Tell him this is what happened,
yes,
right?
Yes. And I'm sure he's proud of you for doing it as well.
You know.
So that is something that's important.
It's our own growth.
It's your own growth and he is proud of you
right,
for doing that. Because that was a big thing. I'm proud of you too.
Yeah. No, but the thing is that we always have to keep growing and we always have, we can't let them be the only ones growing, right?
No, and that's the thing. We have spent a lot of time mm-hmm. giving them that support.
Right.
Without any regret whatsoever.
Right.
But we now have to recognize that we have to take the time for ourselves,
yes,
for
yes.
our own personal
yes.
growth. But, you know, we learn as we go along and it's part of the journey. I didn't get married. I'm sure you didn't either for a year or two. We're in it for the long haul.
Right.
We've been in it for over 20 years.
Yes.
But it takes time, it takes work, it takes compromise.
It's not easy,
it's
right?
not easy. But the base of it is love, which, as we said, is a doing word.
Right.
But there's sometimes, you know, when I really want to wring Chris's neck, but
I always say to Trevor, I always love you,
but
don't always like you.
I'm not liking you right now. I mean, when I look at Michelle Obama and Barack Obama, and there, Michelle Obama will say, there are times I want to throw him out the window.
Right.
You know, and I thought, gosh, this was an ultimate couple.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, nothing is perfect.
Absolutely.
So here's a question I'm going to ask you.
Mm-hmm. Putting me on the spot.
If you could have done anything different during your marriage, what would that have been?
I think it would have been spending more time creating those special times with
okay.
Chris. Because I really got caught up with the children. I did.
Okay.
And there are many times that Chris will say, let us do so and so. No, I can't because of the children. And that's something I really wish I had not done.
Okay.
You know, I wish I had done that a little different. Found a way to spend the time with the children, but importantly, to find the time to spend with my husband as well.
Okay.
And he probably, I can't speak for him, but he's probably resented me for that. I don't know. Because there are times when I really just said, no, I'm not going to the Beyonce concert. I need to be with JP because he has...
GSAT. Yeah. Okay.
Is there anything you do differently?
I think I would have started working on myself a little bit
earlier
and get some more insight on, you know, on taking responsibility for my happiness instead of thinking that I could be happy through making Trevor happy or making the boys happy or making them, you know, supporting them to be the best that they could be.
And they are.
Right? No, yeah.
Absolutely. But as you said, you know, happiness is birthed within us.
Right.
But it's never too late.
Of course.
Never too late. We're both on that journey.
Of course.
You know, and we'll encourage our listeners to
start be mindful. Early if they
Be mindful of that. You know, don't lose your identity and just keep working on yourself.
Yes, for sure.
You'll be a better partner.
Yes, and have a better marriage. Mm-hmm. And enjoy being that wife. Right.
Yeah, I do. I enjoy being a wife.
Most of the time.
So that's our episode for today.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't talk about our t-shirts though.
Yes.
Of course, our in-house designer.
The island wife.
You can contact her.
Because this is truly what we are.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
So thanks for the t-shirts.
No problem.
Yeah. So remember, we have to encourage our listeners to, you know, maybe give us some stories about their relationships, their experience in their marriage.
Right.
It'll be interesting to
and
hear
let's
what
see,
they have to
and
say.
And let's see what they say about bringing it to the table.
Oops. But keep the conversation going.
Yes, for sure.
Alrighty.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening. And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at What.the50.